Hey, what's good, fam? Welcome to the Ministry Zoo with Wes and Jess. I am Wes Ayers here with the undisputed featherweight champion, Jess Estep. He says he's nasally today, but I haven't detected it. It's good to see you. How are you feeling?
I am feeling good.
Well,
I'm feeling real good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I feel a little bit better today. I do still feel like I sound a little nasally, but I took some Afrin nose spray before bed last night, and that really let me sleep through the night without getting stopped up.
That's the prescription
nose spray, it's right? It's over the counter.
Really?
Yeah, you can get it over the counter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff, though.
It's the good stuff. Yeah. It's definitely the good stuff. And so, you know, right now I feel better. It's probably going to wear off. But, hey, that's small in comparison to being seated beside you, to be honest. I mean, this is an honor. You guys that aren't here, you just don't know. You don't know how wonderful it is to sit beside you, to be in your presence.
This is a ministry show.
Okay.
You're supposed to be honest.
Well, if we're being honest, no, it's good to be in today.
And, yeah.
But I'm excited and yet not excited about some things that we're going to talk about today. I'm just going to throw it out there because we're going to get real today.
Yeah.
Yeah, about some things. We've got a lighthearted thing to talk about, and then we've got something a little bit more heavy to talk about.
Yeah, so what we were telling the Facebook Live people, and by the way, if you're listening to us on the podcast later, we would appreciate it if you went back and watched the video too, like and share that video, just like we encourage our Facebook Live watchers to do. We thank you for doing that. But we kind of told them that one of the things we try to do with our show, with our podcast, is we don't try to shy away from things. We want to communicate ways that we talk to our young people, that we talk to our teenagers, we talk to our groups, and hopefully that can help you in guiding. And we want your comments and your feedback on how you're going to talk about things. But we try to talk about real world things. We try to talk about things that our young people are up against, that they're facing, that they run into every single day. And so what we're talking about today is pretty heavy, but it's real world. So we're trying our best to communicate ways that we're going to talk to our young people, and hopefully you'll be able to give us some feedback on how you're going to talk to your young people as well. So, but Jess, you have something that you're going to start us off with, and it basically revolves around something that got little to no media coverage yesterday.
Very little media coverage. I'm disappointed in our media, our mainstream media, our far right media, our far left media, NASA,
fake news.
Nobody was covering the Great American Eclipse yesterday. I could not believe it. I turned on my TV, I turned on my iPad, and everything was just black. Get it? Okay, so
you caught me off guard. That was not in the script.
Yes, I know. So if you're on Facebook Live, especially right now, and you can join the conversation here, tell us where you were, what you saw as far as the Great American Eclipse is concerned. A few little facts here, and just to say this too, I am always in awe of the order of the universe. When you think about how quickly we are all flying through space, we're not just in one spot all the time, okay?
Yeah.
We are, the Earth is revolving. It's revolving around the sun. Our moon is revolving around the Earth as it is also going around the sun. And we have these eight other planets, seven if you throw Pluto out, that are all doing the same thing as part of this galaxy, this universe, this galaxy. And then that whole galaxy is flying through space at astronomical speeds. And it's just incredible to think that all of this is by design.
Yeah.
All of this, there's order to this. In 1979, during the last eclipse that we had in North America, or at least the last big one, the last total solar eclipse, they actually, if you went back and watched those newscasts, they predicted this one. And it's almost eerie to hear them say, you know, the next total solar eclipse will be in, you know, the date. And they gave the date, August the 21st, 2017.
Yeah.
In 2017.
That's wicked.
And you hear them say that, and you're like, this is just incredible. I mean, with the lack of technology and things they had then,
right,
which wasn't really that long ago, they could still tell. And we can know when future ones are going to happen because there's order to it.
Yeah.
Okay. But just a few facts about the eclipse. Our sun is about 93 million miles away. Okay, it's somewhere that's just a round number. It's about 93 million miles away.
Yep.
Okay, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's incredible to me.
Yeah.
How fast that is. Like, yeah. Can't even. And that's why you see no delay when you hit a light switch, unless it's a fluorescent light.
Right.
You hit a light switch and, buddy, it's on.
Yeah.
Because it's traveling so fast, you can't even tell at this rate. But if our sun were to go out, or if our sun was to cut off and then restart, it would take about 8 minutes and 20 seconds for us to notice. That's how fast it is. Light is traveling at super, super fast speeds. So what you were actually seeing when you were seeing the moon go in front of the sun was actually a delay of about 8.5 minutes. So some pretty cool stuff there. Actually, solar eclipses happen about every year and a half. A lot of people don't know that. Most of the time, the shadow, which is what we're seeing when it goes dark, is going either over or below the Earth. Mm. But about every year and a half, we have a solar eclipse. It's just that we don't notice it because it doesn't always come through our area. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, throwing some facts at you, man.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. My mom is watching. She's throwing out a fact, too. Did you see that?
I did see that.
April 8th, 2024 will be the next total solar eclipse. So that's interesting. So tell me this. You have a dog, correct?
I do.
How did the dog react to the solar eclipse?
He did not. He did not react to it. He laid on his bed and stared at us, wondering, what are you folks doing going in and out of the house? Got up a couple of times, I think, to, you know, when we would go out the door, he was interested in that.
Yeah.
Other than that, he, y'all, your pets were fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
hey, by the way, the next total solar eclipse in North America, like your mom was saying, April 8th, 2024, is going to start somewhere in Texas, I believe, and it will be going northeast.
Yeah.
So I think it actually will go through Arkansas, which I don't know the distances. I don't know if we're closer to Arkansas than the part of Arkansas it'll go through. I don't know if we're closer there or to the Dallas area. You've been to Dallas. I don't know if you've been to Arkansas. But anyway, if you're up for traveling to that, then check it out. Go ahead and check it out and see, you know, where that's going to be.
Now, let me ask you this. Brennan is a future astronaut. How much fun did he have with this?
Okay, so I checked him out at 11:30. And by the time we got home, it was beginning.
Yeah.
So he went out and saw the moon barely in front of the sun. I mean, you could see it was just beginning, and he ran inside. I was actually eating lunch, and he had his glasses, and I did the whole thing where I cut it, and I glued them to a paper plate, so he was pretty safe. But he went out, and he came back in. He said, "This is the best day of my life." I mean, he was excited. He loved it for the whole 3 hours he was in and out of the house.
Yeah,
we had
yeah.
it streaming from NASA's website on the iPad, and so he would come in and watch a little bit of it because they had some really cool shots.
Yeah.
And then he'd go out and watch it. All we'd right. talk about it a little bit. So in and out for about 3 hours.
That's awesome.
Really cool experience. Where we are in North Alabama, we saw about 96-97% of the sun covered. So it did not get completely dark. And listening to Rick and Bubba this morning, you know, it's one thing they were talking about is just how powerful the sun is.
Yeah.
That, you know, usually if you cover up 97% of something, you're really not going to see much of it.
Right.
Or the effect of it's not going to have, you know, if we turned our mics down by 97%, you would barely hear us.
Right.
There was plenty of sun.
Yeah.
Still.
For
with
sure.
97%.
Yeah. I'll just be honest with you. I was at Burger King while this was going on.
Yeah.
Eating a Whopper.
Uh-huh.
And so I walked outside about the time that the eclipse was coming. And, you know, I didn't look up or anything, but it just kind of felt like I had sunglasses on. You know what I mean?
That's about what it felt like a light pair of sunglasses.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that really speaks to the power of the sun. It's amazing. Science is really cool. You know, we enjoy it. Pearson, I checked him out of school yesterday, too. But he was more concerned about, you know, spending time with kids than he was
Yeah.
You know, that's all he wanted to do. He wanted to go over to my mom's house. But, you know, whatever. Grandkids.
So anyway, let us know what you guys were doing and what you saw. What did any of you listening, were any of y'all in the Path of Totality? I think that's really cool.
Yes.
I saw some footage from around the world or around the nation. People were really excited, you know, going crazy over it. So
yeah, you know, the city of Franklin, Tennessee, put a video up on their Facebook page of, you know, like the time lapse. And it, I mean, it was super cool to watch it just kind of just come over, black out the city, and then it just went away. I mean, it was just, it's really cool. So, you know, go back, watch some videos. Let us know what you saw, what you experienced. It's pretty cool to us. We enjoyed it. So, but it sounds like Brennan had the best time of all of us. So.
Well, he did have a good time. We enjoyed our time together. We had the Eclipse Donuts.
Yeah.
I got there, and I was the third car in line. I could not believe it.
Yeah.
Got a couple of dozen, took some to Lori's office, and we ate some at the house. I saw on Facebook about an hour after I was there, somebody said they were completely out.
Yeah.
They weren't going to have any more till that night.
So you did good.
So,
then.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like that was a pretty good score there.
Well, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So it's unique what we're talking about today. You know, like we said from the beginning, we don't try to shy away from things here. We don't try to water things down. Jess and I have been friends for a long time, and so, you know, we felt like this was important for us to talk about today, in ways that we're going to and maybe have already in some ways addressed this with our teens. But today we wanted to talk to you a little bit about talking to teenagers about racism. Racism is something that I felt like, as a 30-year-old, I would not have to explain to my 6-year-old what that is, because it just, you know, I look at Pearson and I look at Chapman, and I think of how innocent they are and how, you know, they can go to the Chick-fil-A play place and they can play with any kid. You know, it just doesn't matter. They don't see skin color. They just see somebody to play with and spend time with, and to me that's amazing. So I never really imagined that this would be a conversation that I would have to have with my kids. But it's real and it's rampant, and it's as bad as I have ever seen it in 30 years of being here. But it's unique, and so we're gonna try today to look at this from a biblical perspective. That's what we do. When we say the ministry zoo, we're not just focused on one thing. We're, you know, a zoo has a wide variety of things in it. So that's what we do. We try to talk about a wide variety of things. So today we're going to talk about discussing racism with your teenagers. And this is something that, even if you're not talking to teenagers about racism, it's, we feel like we have got such a biblical influence on this discussion today that you can talk to anybody and use these points that, you know, might be struggling with racism or might be wondering what the Bible has to say, or you know, a Christian outlook on racism. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So Jess, does the Bible ever mention anything about racism, or let's start with this one. Slavery. That seems to be kind of a hot topic issue when you're talking about racism. What does the Bible say about slavery?
Yeah, and let me just echo what Wes said before we get into some of these verses and deeper into the discussion. I agree with you. We have tried to shelter Brennan, our son, from, and he's the same age as your oldest.
Right.
And we have tried to shelter him from some of that, thinking that you know, unless he has an issue, we start seeing issues with him. And I'm just talking about anything, really. And I think that's kind of what you want to do with kids, is let them learn and experience. There's some things you need to teach them. This should not be something in 2017 that we have to sit down and address with our son.
Right.
In a large part, we haven't, because I think it was maybe once or twice he mentioned the color of somebody's skin one time when he was younger. Yeah. I mean, he's only 6, but it was probably a couple of years ago. And we addressed it, you know, and said, well, some people have different color skin.
Sure.
And, you know, and that doesn't matter, does it? Because they were born like that.
Right.
You know, just like you have blonde hair and, you know, mommy's hair is brown. It's the same thing. Yeah. And so we had that type of discussion. Ever since then, he's been gravy. He has not, you know, brought it up. It doesn't seem to be an issue. We have kids in our neighborhood who have different color skin as him, and he plays with them just as well as anybody.
Yeah.
And I imagine most kids that age, because it is a learned behavior, most kids probably, they may have questions, but they're probably the same way.
Yeah.
The Bible does actually say quite a bit about race. It says quite a bit about slavery. We want to look at some of these verses, and then as we close our discussion, we want to give some, maybe some suggestions, and I'm sure that some of you all have some great suggestions as well. Please share those with us. But let's get into talking about how God feels, at least from what he has said, about racism, about slavery. I think that's maybe a good starting point sometimes, is talking about slavery, because a lot of our thoughts and a lot of our feelings come from the history of slavery around the world and in our country. First of all, we need to understand that actually respect and freedom is what was instructed by God.
Yeah.
Okay. He never intended for people to be enslaved by other people, by anyone.
Yeah.
Ephesians 6, verses 8 through 9 says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or he is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there's no partiality with him.
Yeah.
So that's one verse that that we need to go to when we're talking about this. Now, does the Bible mention slavery? It mentions slavery. There were things going on, you know, in real life that they were dealing with. But that does not mean that God promoted it.
Yeah.
That God was ever, you know, in favor of people having slaves. But because men are weak and men fail, we misunderstand how to do life.
Yeah.
Okay. And we sin, and we get into things that we shouldn't. And because of that, God instructs, okay, in this situation, here's how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And in this case, in Ephesians, he's saying, treat each other with respect. Don't threaten, you know, if you have slaves, don't threaten them.
Right.
Get along.
Yeah.
Okay. Respect. And that can go both ways. You respect one another. Colossians 4, verse 1, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now, does that sound like the type of thing that maybe we experienced here? Maybe in some cases, I've actually heard of cases. I remember on Duck Dynasty, you know, there was a big deal with Phil, and he was talking about some of his ancestors that had slaves, but it was a mutual respect for one another, and people could not believe that. I believe that could be possible, but when we think about it, we don't think about it in those terms. We think about people being angry, and the whipping and the hanging and all those terrible thoughts and images that come to our mind, because that was very real.
Yeah.
And so as a result of what Paul is instructing in Ephesians and in Colossians, is that you treat with each other with almost a, you know, a respect, and not doing harm. And things can, as a result, maybe the result was that there's a mutual positive relationship between the master and the slave. And those terms, I hate to even say them because it's just so antithetical to the way that I think, but those are the terms we use. Then you've got Deuteronomy 15:16 that could be as a result, and I know we're going back and forth, New Testament, Old Testament, but Deuteronomy 15:16 mentions slaves that might not want to leave because of their good relationship with their owner. You know, that's hard to imagine, but I believe that, you know, if they were dealing with that real life, that's what they're going through. And if they, you know, they said, we're going to treat you well, we're not going to, you know, you're almost going to be just our hired worker, yeah, you know, type of thing, then that could be possible. That it could be a positive relationship. It didn't always have to be negative. And Paul's trying to say, let's turn what could be very negative into a positive, treat them with respect, show them respect. And you know, if you are a slave, you know, then do the same thing. And you can actually have a good, positive relationship. Now, am I promoting slavery? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You know, back then, this is what they were dealing with. I obviously am against it in all areas.
Right.
But people misunderstand. And I've heard in some of these riots and some of these interviews, there was a real disturbing one on Facebook. And I watched it. I was like, trying to get in their heads. What are you possibly thinking? You know, how can you say that the Bible tells you that, you know, that this is okay? And the verses that they were using were so taken out of context.
Right.
So taken out of context. So when we look at what the Bible says, actually God condemns slavery. He promotes respect and freedom, actually, is what was instructed by God.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're talking about this to your teenagers, you need to explain to them that this was the culture. You know, this was the thing then, you know, and it was a real situation. It was real life. It was part of what they were dealing with in that culture and in that time. It was just part of it. So even in biblical times, slavery was there and it was prevalent. And what they're trying to promote what Paul is trying to promote it from his perspective is, you know, there's nobody above anybody else. There's just this aspect of what Jess was saying, a worker relationship, you know, someone that has a business. We've all, you know, had a job of some sort where someone told us what to do and then, you know, we did the work and then there was, you know, a benefit involved in it. There was, you know, the turnaround was there. So when you're talking about slavery, it's such a hot button topic. It's just so, I don't really know what the word I'm trying to say is. It's just, it's interesting to see different people's opinion. It's different to see how people respond to just that word. You know, you can say that word, you can say the word slavery, and you can see just the look on people's face. You can just see their demeanor. Some people, it will just change. Some people, you know, it doesn't matter to them to hear that word. It just, you know, it doesn't mean anything to them. But it's something that, you know, is tossed around, and I think we neglect to think about, you know, sometimes there were positive relationships that came from that aspect of slavery, that word and that term and that idea of slavery. But, you know, I'm a movie buff, okay? I like to watch movies. I think you do too. But one of the things that happens commonly when you're talking about slavery or when slavery is portrayed in a movie, it's just the negative thing. So that's what people always see. That's what people are shown, and that's kind of what their idea becomes because they don't open a book. They don't read other stories. They just see what's shown to them on a movie screen sometimes. And so that becomes your idea of, or our idea as a society, of what reality really was in that time, rather than going and looking at all the different aspects and the different stories and the different accounts that have been told about that. So, you know, you look at different things and you see different things. So, yes, respect and freedom was instructed by God, but the Bible condemns slavery, correct?
Right.
So we have some scriptures that we want to talk to you about that, where the Bible is obviously condemning slavery. So, you know, I'm going to share with you Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 7. If a man is found stealing one of his brothers of the people of Israel, and if he treats him as a slave or sells him, that thief shall die. So, and so you shall purge the evil from your midst. So, obviously, this is not something that is supported. This is not an idea that, you know, if you are treating someone as a slave and you are treating them negatively, you are punishing them by some unnecessary mean, that this is not something that is supported biblically. Is that kind of what you feel after reading that verse?
Absolutely. I think that that's what he's teaching, you know, to the Israelites, you know, that this is not, you know, you're going to be condemned if this is your mode of punishment,
right,
is to enslave somebody, make them become your servant. as a punishment. You're condemned, and that sin needs to be purged from you. You know, and back to your point, you know, I think that there are a lot of emotions that come up when we talk about this. And the way that the media and the movies and all that, you know, they're right to show the negative aspect, because people did not take Paul's advice, at least, you know, in our country. You know, I don't know what it was like then in the first century. You know, I don't know if the Christians took Paul's advice to heart and they treated their slaves differently, you know, or not. But what we experienced in our country was horrible. Yeah. And those images, they stir up a lot of emotion, because that's accurately the way that it was. But we misunderstand. So many people misunderstood what the Bible taught about it. God condemns slavery. Deuteronomy 24:7 that Wes just read. This is not a form of punishment. Whether you think that people are beneath you or below you or not as good as you, or, you know, somebody stole from you, this is not the way to handle our business. Exodus 21:16 says, whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him shall be put to death. Now, again, this is Old Testament, we understand.
But it's pretty clear, right?
It's pretty clear the way that God views possessing other humans,
right,
is very negative.
Yeah.
Okay? He's against it in all aspects. 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 10, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy, the profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, and get this, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. The idea of slavery, Paul, again, is instructing, the idea of slavery is against solid doctrine.
Yeah.
It's against the things that God would have us to do and have us to preach and have us to teach. So this whole thing, it's against the nature of God for us to enslave other people.
Right.
No matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what they look like, no matter what color their hair is, no matter what color their skin is, no matter where they are financially, you know, their financial status. It's just wrong.
So one thing that I think about when I see this verse, you know, we use this combination of verses, 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 10, for a lot of things. But we neglect to see the enslavery thing. You know, when we look at it, we look at, you know, those who strike their father and mothers, the sexually immoral, those who practice homosexuality, and, you know, we go to the liar thing. And you look at those things, but and you don't want to pick. It's like you said, you don't want to pick things out because there are some people who are using certain verses to try to defend their point. You know, they take the context of what the verse was written for and they just completely throw it out. They just want to use it for whatever benefits them. And I think that has become a raging problem, not just with this idea that we're talking about today, but just across the border, you know, across the line, everywhere we look, this has just become a problem of people taking verses out of context and using it to support their idea. And, you know, we talk a lot about Jonah, and we talk about how in our youth group class, we talk about Jonah a lot, and we talk about how at one point Jonah basically tried to put God in a Jonah theological box. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like he tried to bait God into saying, look, it would be better for me to die than to do this. It's kind of the same principle. People just want to put their own ideas and make their own context about what Scripture is trying to say and about what we're trying to read here and view here and what's trying to be taught here, to just kind of make their own rules and to make everything fit into what they want it to fit into. When you look at that verse and those two verses specifically combined, you've got to put the whole aspect of it together. Every single word in there is important. Just like with every single word of Scripture, you've got to look at it. You've got to understand the context. You've got to understand the backdrop of the story. You know, and I've heard people say before, sometimes they wish that they could just have their Bible without a chapter and a verse,
right,
so that they could just read it, so that you wouldn't try to say, oh, well, if you look at 1 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10, look at the whole story. Look at what look at everything that's going on there, and then put your story together, and then try to put your defense together. And if you do that, you find that there's no scriptural defense for slavery. There's no scriptural defense for
racism.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you look at those things and you see those things, and when you start putting it together as it's written, you lose your case.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Jess, and I trust your opinion, because I know you're gonna talk to me about scripture. So,
okay,
on the day of judgment,
yes,
will somebody be judged different than somebody else? Are there superior people? Will somebody be judged less harshly or with more favoritism on the day of judgment? Tell me how that works.
Well, what I would hope is that I would be judged less harshly than everybody else.
Sure, right? Yeah, that's the
I want God to judge me less harshly. I want Him to put me up against things of this world, the standards maybe of this world, and not His standards. Because maybe I do a decent job, okay? I'm not perfect, but maybe I do a decent job of standing up to the standards of the world.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the world has set pretty low standards. Right. More morally, I'm speaking.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, and fortunately, He's going to judge me by His standards. The unfortunately part of that is that we've got some pretty high standards that God has set.
Right.
The fortunate part of that is that He's also said He's going to judge righteously, okay? Mm-hmm. And He's going to judge fairly.
Yeah.
Okay? But that doesn't mean just for one group of people. That means for everybody, okay? He's going to judge fairly for everybody. And in judgment, no one's going to stand superior to any other man in front of God, okay? Romans 2, 11 through 16 tells us, and you can read this, but it tells us there's no partiality with God. It tells us that all have sinned and that all are going to be judged by the same law. Okay? We're all, everybody, going to be judged by the same book of law, the same Bible,
yeah,
that everybody else is going to be judged by. And it doesn't matter if I'm from Italy. It doesn't matter if I'm from Germany, if I'm from North Korea, if I'm from South Africa, or if I'm from Florence, Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm going to be judged by the same book of law.
Right.
I'm going to be judged by the same God, and I'm going to be judged fairly and righteously and justly, and He's not going to leave anybody out of that. Galatians 3:28 says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In God's eyes, we are all the same.
Yep.
We have equal value to Him. He loves us all equally. And we need to understand that. We need to get out of this thought that, you know, I'm better than so-and-so because of this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. There's neither Jew nor Greek. You know, men are not superior to women, and Jews are not superior to Greeks. Christians are not superior to non-Christians. We're all different. We're all a little bit, we all look a little bit different. We all sound a little bit different.
Yeah.
We all smell a little bit different.
That's right.
You know, but to God, we all have equal value, right, to Him. And until we understand that, we can't progress any further. We can't. Not in this area.
Yeah.
And that's something that we all need to understand. We're all going to have to live with that. And we're going to all have to accept it. Because when we stand before God in judgment, a lot of people are going to be up for a rude awakening. Mm-hmm. When they think that they're going to get to heaven or get to judgment seat, and God doesn't say, oh, you're light skinned with you know, tall, dark, and handsome, come on in.
Yeah,
it's just not going to work that way. Shocker.
Yeah.
You know, spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's not how it's going to work.
Yeah. So obviously this is hot button. You know, this is something that's happening. This is where we're at. So when you're talking to, you know, we're both youth ministers. That's obvious. I mean, that's kind of a given at this point. So we talk to teens a lot, and we talk to teens about things that are happening in their world. So when we're talking to them, this is kind of what we're looking at. This is kind of how we're addressing this. This is how we're approaching it. This is how we're going to focus our energy. So one thing that we would like to know is, if you're preaching, if you're a preacher and you're watching the show, or listening to the show, give us some feedback on maybe how you approached it from a pulpit aspect, how you preached to your congregation about it, how you focused your energy, how you focused your scriptures, how you built a sermon around racism. If you address that topic from the pulpit, how did you do that? How did you go about it? How did you relay that message from a biblical aspect? We'd love to hear your opinion on this. But so, how do we talk to teens about it? How do we talk to people about it? How do we address this with teenagers, with just the general congregation, with just the general public? We're going to give you some tips on how we're going to do it, how we have done it, and how we will continue to do it going forward. And then, of course, we'd like to hear what you do. So the first one, I think, Jess, is you can't ignore it.
No.
You know, it's there. They see it. It's part of their life. It's part of the culture that they're growing up in right now. This is something that's focused. It's something that's getting a lot of attention. It's something that's getting a lot of conversation. It's something that's getting a whole bunch of attention. And so from a youth minister aspect, from a minister aspect, from a Christian aspect, you cannot ignore racism.
You can't ignore it. We can't expect to think that our teenagers are not watching the news.
Right.
We can't expect that our teenagers are not following some type of news organization on Facebook or Twitter, or seeing Snapchats from CNN or Fox News or whoever it is.
Yeah.
They are. They're seeing it, and that's influencing them, whether they feel like it is or not.
Yeah.
You know, I know that it is. I know that it is. I hear our teens talk about it every now and then. It hasn't become, you know, the huge talking point. There's other positive things going on in the youth group, and I imagine in a lot of your youth groups that, you know, this is not, you know, something that that maybe is at the forefront all the time, but it is a big enough issue and an important enough issue that we can't sit by and not talk about it in some form or fashion. Yeah. So don't ignore it.
Yeah. always. And it doesn't matter what you're talking about, but especially when you're talking about things like racism and current events, we have to teach what the Bible says. You know, we've given some scriptures. You probably have some different ones that you could use, and we would love for you to share those with us, but teach what the Bible says. Give them an opportunity to hear and to see what Scripture says about current events, because you'll be able to find it. You'll be able to see that the struggles that were written about then are struggles that we're experiencing now, and they'll be able to see that it's not just a current issue. It's been an issue in the past, and this is how it was approached. This is how it was handled. This is what was said. Teach what the Bible says. Every time you get in front of a class or a group of people, you need to teach them what the Bible says, and especially when it comes to hot button, hot topic, current worldly events, you need to teach them what the Bible's saying about that event.
Yeah, and another aspect of that is when you do hear interviews like the one I mentioned, and they're using the Bible to promote slavery or to promote racism,
right?
We need to dig that up, and we need to see what the context is there and teach the truth of that context, because again, God does not promote that.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they have found this little obscure verse that says something about, you know, racism, they feel like it is okay, we need to teach the truth of that verse.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to bring up the verse that it was, because I don't remember. I remember somewhat of what it said. It was talking about our own people, but it was talking about the nation of Israel. It wasn't even talking about, you know, race at all. So, yeah. I mean, it was, but it wasn't promoting racism. Mm. So we need to teach what the Bible says. We also, one thing that's important, because our country is being torn apart by this, and a lot of it is coming from violence. You know, yeah. It's not just the protests. It's not just speaking out about the way that you feel about this issue with a sign or, you know, a statement. It's that people are resorting to violence, and that's something we don't need. We need to denounce violence. This is not the way. Yeah. This is not the way we get our point across, is by, you know, throwing things at people, by hitting people, by etching something into somebody's car. This is not the way that we go about this in a positive way where we can heal from these issues. That's not the answer.
Yeah. I think about some of the rhetoric that's being used, some of the things that are just being said. You know, I don't enjoy people talking down to me, but that doesn't give me a right to just go and just start fighting them, you know?
Right.
So violence is, I mean, I can remember being a kid and being on the playground and somebody wanting to fight.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
It's been around. But it's at such a level now that people are losing their lives. People are being hurt physically, even to the point of death. I mean, you know, there's the situation where the guy ran through the crowd of people in Charlottesville with his car, and a lady lost her life because of that. That's unnecessary. That's uncalled for. That's just not something. God is not pleased with those type of actions, with those type of mindsets, those types of thoughts, because that's a child of His that was created by Him, and that's the end result. That's not something to be proud of. That's not something to stand on and promote and be happy with, because God's not happy with it. God is not pleased with that. So why would we promote that? Why would we be behind that? Why would we encourage that? And you know, that leads into a whole different conversation. You know, people are going to say, well, what about wars and differences between countries? We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about individual one-on-one hate crimes, because that's what it is.
Exactly.
It's just hatred, and that's uncalled for. It's unbiblical, and it's unnecessary.
I agree 100%. So we need to denounce that. We need to let our teens know that that's not the answer.
Right.
Also, one thing you might do is use social media. Now, you might have to filter some things, you know, because when there's a crowd of people, when you're seeing things on social media, you're going to maybe hear some things that are foul language and things like that. But you might use some of the things that you're seeing on social media to teach, to make this a teachable moment.
Yeah.
Again, filter things. We don't want to do some things in our classrooms that that are edgy. You know, we want to feel like we're being edgy and teaching about this topic.
Yeah.
We don't want them to leave with something that's going to make a parent mad. Well, you know, I can't believe you showed this.
Yeah.
Filter some things, but maybe use some quotes, you know, like I was talking about. What are people saying about this? How does that make you feel? And talk about, is this right based on what the Bible says? Well, so this person said this. Well, does that go along with the standard that God set? Mm-hmm. Does that go along with what God has said about this issue? And if it doesn't, let's make this a teachable moment. So maybe you use social media. They're seeing it anyway, I guarantee you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it goes without saying that Jess and I, we're both pretty active on social media, you know, and so we're not going to try to discourage teenagers from getting on their social media accounts, because I'm on mine. So I can't tell you to not be involved in yours and to be active on yours, on your social media, if I myself am on my social media. But one thing that you can do is, I had a conversation with a guy the other day, and he said, I'm encouraging people to not get on social media and to not be reading and seeing some of these things that are happening. And my question to him was, why? You know, it's there. It's real world. They need to know what's happening in the world. They need to know what they're up against. They need to know what's happening, because one of the things that you don't want to do is you never want to be blindsided by things. You know, that's no fun. That's not
right.
That's not something that we enjoy doing. So when conversations come up and somebody comes to a teenager in your youth group or someone in your church that is a Christian, and somebody wants to know the Christian side of this. They want to know what a Christian thinks about this. They want to know what a Christian's idea is about this, or what they've been taught or what they've read. They need to know what's happening. They need to know what's going on in the world around them, and they need to be able to answer those questions. So use your social media, see what's happening, see what's going on in the world around you, and be able to decipher and to pull out the things that are not right and the things that are right, and make a difference there, because I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah, and I was actually reading some stuff about this and how we can talk to our teens, and some had even said they took a poll of their young people, you know, and said, if we're going to talk about this, how would you like us to approach it? And they said, don't start with the history. Don't start with what happened a couple of hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Start with what's going on now, because that's what they're seeing. They didn't live back in that time. It's okay to talk about the history. We've got to learn from that. But that might be a suggestion, too, when you're talking about using social media. Maybe that's the place that you start.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to start with, well, way back when, you know, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
But I think that teens, if they want to talk about something, current events, they want to talk about what's happening now.
Right.
And let's talk about the problems now. And then you can get into, well, where did this come from? Well, you know, back then, back when this, you know, this is where it started in our country. And then you can even go back further. But it even starts, it started a long, long time ago.
Yeah,
between Egyptians and the Israelites, between Samaritans and Jews, the race relations have been in tension for a long time.
A very long time.
So they're going to relate to what's going on here and now. So that was a suggestion that I had seen from somebody.
Yeah. One thing that you can always encourage young people to do is, you know, it's good to see young people take advantage of opportunities. One thing that you can do is encourage them to be the change. If they want to see a change be made, encourage them to be the one who makes that change. Start with them. Encourage them to start with themselves. Encourage them to find the strength within them to make that change. You know, the Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror. You know, and that's kind of what his message is in that song, is that he's starting with himself. He's going to make that change. Now, am I promoting a Michael Jackson lifestyle?
Sounds like it.
Absolutely not. But what I am saying is, young people want to see a change. Encourage them to make that change within themselves, to be the person that they want this country to be, the people that make up this country. Encourage them to be that person that starts that, that changes that, that makes that difference, and that makes that push, and that makes that happen.
Yeah, I've been telling my teens that for, you know, for weeks, yeah. You know, at the beginning of this thing, when we were praying about it in our class and praying about it at prayer group at Brooks High School, that's what I've been trying to tell them, is that unless the change starts with them, we can't expect anything to change unless we're changed.
Right.
And unless we're changed, the world around us is not going to change.
Yeah.
And that leads us to the final suggestion here, and that's to promote Jesus as the answer.
Hmm.
We can talk about love, and we can talk about getting along and respect, but unless that is motivated by the fact that Jesus changes lives, I'm not sure how effective it's going to be.
Right.
Because I hear, you know, people out in the world saying, we've just got to love each other.
Yeah.
Okay, we do.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. We do have to love each other. But what next?
Yeah.
What happens then? What are we doing with that love? How do we show that love to people? Well, at some point, we've got to share with them that Christ changes lives.
Yeah.
That when they accept God into their lives and they're obedient to God, okay, they become Christians, until that message is what gets through and they understand they have been redeemed, mm-hmm, because of love, and that our actions come because God loved us, I'm afraid this world is just going to be at war,
yeah,
you know, figuratively and physically. And until that message gets to non-believers, until that message gets to people that accept violence as the answer to everything, we can love and respect people all day long, but until we do something about that and do something with that, then I think the world's just going to probably be the way that it is.
Yeah.
And it has been. There are people, you know, in terrorist countries, you know, whichever ones those you want to call are, that refuse, that deny Jesus as the Son of God.
Yeah.
And until something changes there, this is the way that it's going to be. And so what do we do with that? We say, well, who can I affect?
Yeah.
Who can I impact with the love of God, with Jesus Christ? And until we start doing that, nothing's going to change.
Yeah. You know, I was watching a sermon last night, and the guy was talking about not using the gospel as some sort of watered-down justification. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And so when we're looking at this idea of Jesus is the answer, it can't be some watered down answer. We have to stand firm on this. This is something that we have to look at and something that we have to preach and teach and show people that Jesus is the answer. It can't just be us out there talking about Jesus and talking about the gospel. It has to be true to us. It has to be something that is effective, and it has to be something that we are, it has to be effective through our words and through our actions, is basically what he was trying to say. And he was saying, don't let the gospel of Jesus Christ be something that becomes watered down. Stand on it, be strong, and understand that this is the answer for the questions and the troubles that we're living in and that we're experiencing now. Don't let Jesus be a watered-down answer. Don't just say, oh, what would Jesus do? Actually ask yourself that question. Focus your energy on that, and let that be the answer that you give to people, is knowing what Jesus is, talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and understanding that he's not just some watered-down figure that no longer has a place in our world. It's the answer. It's right. What we need, and it's where we need to go, and it's where we need to focus our energy. So I was so glad to hear that. It was refreshing to me to hear that last night.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. I've enjoyed the conversation because I have wondered how to get this off my chest.
Yeah.
You know, what venue do I use?
Yeah.
I didn't want to make a Facebook post about it because so many have.
Right.
And you get chewed up sometimes through that. Now, and we might also, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to post on Twitter. I just didn't want to do something like that. I don't know why. And there's a time for that. But I think this venue it's been refreshing for me to use this venue to talk about this. This is something important to me that I've felt, you know, all my life that this is just wrong. This way that we treat people is just wrong. I've been in other countries where I was on the other end of this a little bit. Okay. So not in extreme ways like people have in this country for years. But I remember being in the wonderful country of Guyana, and I love the people there, and they're just so welcoming and kind. And I had four wonderful trips there. Yeah. But walking down the road, and it's primarily darker-skinned people.
Yeah.
Walking down the road one day, I don't remember who I was with, probably a couple of the locals from the church. And there were a couple of guys that just followed us down the road and kept screaming, Hey, white man. Yeah. Hey, white man. And it, you know, that can be kind of funny, but it wasn't at the moment.
Yeah.
It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It never resorted to any kind of violence. But it just made me feel for that small moment. And again, that's a light example. That is nothing compared to what some people go through.
Yeah.
But for that moment, it was uncomfortable.
It's very intimidating.
It's intimidating. And I felt, you know what? I am a minority here.
Yeah.
And they are singling me out because of the color of my skin.
Right.
And it was uncomfortable to experience that in that small way. So I cannot imagine what people go through in this country and in other countries where this is a problem. I've been to South Africa, to Cape Town, where for years and years and still they struggle with racial issues. We've got to overcome this. So Jesus is the answer. We've got to spread his love and his message to the world. And until that happens, we've got to do our best to teach the people that we are with, that we encounter, our students, this message. Yeah. So appreciate it, Wes. Hey, thanks for talking.
I listen, this has been, because I'm like you, you know, you what do? How do you get your opinion out there? How do you voice your concern? And so this has been a great sounding board. This has been a good show. I appreciate the dialogue and the conversation, and we look forward to hearing your comments as well. Speaking of comments, if you've watched the video on Facebook, thank you for doing that. Please be sure to like and share and get the word out there that, you know, we are here and we love to hear from different people, hear from our friends in the Facebook world. But if you want to get in touch with us other ways, or you want to find us or listen to the show again, and you don't have access to Facebook or whatever, Jess is going to give you the ways to do that right now.
Okay, and we, it looks like towards the end of this discussion on Facebook Live, had a little bit of some internet issues. Hopefully that may be just here at the building. If you had some issues and didn't get to watch the rest of it, then find us on these different venues where you can at least listen up to the rest of that show. You can find us on iTunes and Google Play. You can find us on adventuresinministry.com, or you can download the AIM app. It's just AIM. That's Adventures in Ministry. We're on Twitter at MinistryZoo, Facebook.com/MinistryZoo. And please send us an email with your suggestions, your comments, anything in addition to what we talked about today. Hit us up at MinistryZoo@gmail.com.
That's right. We have been so honored to be with you today, and we appreciate it so much for you tuning in and listening. Jess, this week kicks off high school football in our area.
It sure does. So, your neck of the wood.
Yeah, yeah. The Pirates and the Mustangs kick it off Friday night, so I'm excited about that. And then, of course, Brooks and Lauderdale County, Wilson, all those teams kicking it off this week. And I know you've got some others, too. You know, it's going to be interesting. This is the first year that we've had multiple schools represented in a long time that have played football. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Going to get out to some different areas, but it's a good time of the year. Alabama's kicking into full gear, and you know, it's
Braves
it's,
are doing their thing.
Yeah,
with the L's.
Yeah, yeah. But
so know, all is right with the world. Football starting, and the Braves are missing the playoffs.
The Cubs are not much better.
Yeah. That brings me a little bit of peace.
Hush it
no, I'm kidding. I'm pulling for you, bud.
Well, I hope they can get in there, get in the playoffs, do some damage. But anyway, we are so thankful for you to have been with us today. We appreciate it. Please, please, please give us your comments, give us your feedback, and we hope that you have a great rest of your day. Thanks. We're out.
See ya.